Today we are finishing our series, I Choose for an iPod Generation. And you might remember we've been talking about iPods. And I have one with me. I do have one. Okay. And you might remember the first week we talked about I Surrender and how Joseph was completely surrendered to God, and that no matter what happened to him, he trusted God, and that we need to ourselves trust God and put our whole lives surrender to God and in God's hands. And then we talked about I Give and the early church in Acts, and how they weren't so much, they were there, and all this revival was taking place with the I Give, and they found a way to take care of each other and stuff like that. And then we brought it home and said, if we here at Richmond Community Church truly believe that God is calling us to reach out to our neighbors and our neighborhood, then we will find a way to get it done through our time, our talents, and our treasures. Because if it's something that you want bad enough, you'll find a way to get it done. And then last week we spoke about I Serve, and we talked about the church at Corinth and the disciples and how they weren't always into serving each other and helping each other. And we looked at communion and how when the church gets communion right, and when we as a people get church right and do it where we're thinking about each other and loving each other and serving each other, man, it's a beautiful thing. And so today we'll finish this series. Then the title of today's message is I Live, and it's taken from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 23. Now, we've spoken a lot about iPods, and I have some headphones up here that you can do, or the little earbuds, not the expensive $6,500 ones or anything like that. I have a docking cradle, so with speakers, so you can actually listen to it. We actually had last week, and we didn't realize it till after the service, and we don't have it in here today. It's a collapsible chair, and you put this chair out, and you can sit in the chair, and it has a spot where you can put your iPod in, plug it in, and the speakers are built right into the chair and stuff like that. So they have all kinds of accessories. But do you realize that these iPods, even though they can store thousands of songs and play any song you want at the touch of a button, where do they get their power from? Battery. That's right. All electronic devices need some kind of battery in order for them to operate. iPods need batteries. And fortunately, because of science, an iPod is run by a rechargeable lithium-ion battery, which means that on some iPods, depending on how they work, they will run for 14 hours on a single charge. And you can charge them up. Usually they expect them to be able to be recharged 500 different times, which they figured out is an estimated 3-year lifespan. An iPod is expected to last about 3 years. And as I was doing some research and looking in on this, there's some new technology out there. It's called nanowire batteries. So they're working on a new technology which will allow an iPod to run up to 10 times longer than they currently do. 140 hours on a single charge. You could say that the life of the iPod is its battery. Without that battery, there is no life, no power, no music. Now, as I was researching and looking at all this stuff and getting on sites, you know, there is one common complaint, the most common complaint about iPods. Do you know what it is? What was that? It is, you're right, it is the, I turned it on. I pushed the button and came on. It is the batteries. And people are always irritated by their batteries. That's the one issue. The durability of iPod batteries. I know James had one years ago and he had some trouble with it. Now, back in September of 2003, Casey Neistat of New York City discovered that the battery in his first generation 5-gigabyte iPod could no longer hold a charge for more than an hour. So he called Apple Computer. And he spoke with them. And unfortunately, they told him his best shot was to buy a new iPod. He even sent a letter and stuff and tried to get a hold of Steve Jobs to find out what can be done. And the answer was always the same. You're better off just to buy a new iPod. Now, iPods back in those days ranged anywhere from $300 to $500. Neistat, he was upset. And he decided that since iPod that Apple wasn't going to help him. He would replace the battery on his own. So he got an off-brand battery for about $50, and he proceeded to try to open the back of his iPod, and he promptly broke it. Now, his iPod was never going to work, even with the battery in it, no matter what kind of battery he has in there. He was so infuriated that he started an internet site, and it still exists today. He started an internet site called iPodsDirtySecret.com, which featured a video of him spray painting the phrase that you have up there: iPod's unreplaceable battery lasts only 18 months. He went through all of Lower Manhattan and anywhere that that poster was placed anywhere in Lower Manhattan. He put a template up there that he'd made and he spray painted. And whether it was that or other people complaining and writing to Apple, somewhere along the line, Apple came up with a battery replacement policy. For about $99, they'll replace a battery for you. Now, just so you know, Apple usually always ranks number one in customer satisfaction and the things that they'll do for the customers. Now, I don't blame Apple for the problem. They figured that batteries are only going to last so long anyway. So why get so upset? But in spite of the fact that it is a fact that batteries will eventually decay and age and die, people still get a little upset. You see, people do not react well to death, even if it is just the death of their iPod. And people don't react well to their own deaths either. One wit once said, "I am not afraid to die. It's just that I can't get up much enthusiasm for it either." But despite that humor, most people are afraid of death. They have a fear of death. We don't all get to be around death and work with death as much as Pastor Frank does. Sigmund Freud, who is the father of psychiatry, observed, "Finally, there is the painful riddle of death, for which no remedy at all has yet been found, nor probably ever will be." Now, years ago, a songwriter by the name of Randy Newman, who was a rock musician back in the 70s, and since then he has written musical scores for Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. and several other movies, he was being interviewed by a magazine and responded to one question by saying, "I think religion is a tremendously powerful source. How else is someone going to face the horror of everything ending?" Now, this reporter, knowing that Newman was an atheist, quickly shot back with the question, "So how do you face it?" Newman replied, "I don't. I just joke around. It is a reality in this world that most people are uncomfortable with death. They're afraid of death." And that's what the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. It says that the major reason that Jesus took on the form of a human and died on the cross was to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus, he came to free us from the fear of death. And that is why throughout the Gospels, Jesus repeatedly said things like, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because I live, you also will live. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." Now, those are all found in John, and they're in the handout that you had there. So Don actually printed them up for us. I didn't have it in there printed. I just had the text, but he actually printed them for you. Those are there. That's what Jesus spent his life doing, telling us that we could live. Jesus freed us from the fear of death and dying by dying on the cross. And then by personally overcoming that death by his resurrection. When Jesus rose from the dead, he broke the bonds of death. And as 1 Corinthians 15 says, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly than any other power can give. But there's still this little ticklish problem out there. Just like batteries in our electronic devices, we still age and decay, and we will eventually die. And I'm getting closer all the time. I can feel it. How can this mortal body become immortal? Some of you feel the same way, huh? How can that which is perishable become imperishable? Well, what we need is, we need a different battery then. A different life source. And that's what Romans chapter 6 is all about. In Romans 6 verses 3 through 8, you can follow along up there or in your Bibles if you want. It reads like this. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. You see, when you were baptized into Christ, something changed within us. We put to death the old body of sin. We crucified our sinful past. And we allowed our mortal bodies to be buried in a watery grave. But it didn't end there. How many of you, when you were baptized, went under the water and you stayed down there? Okay, you caught it. It's kind of a trick question. Because if any of you had stayed there, you wouldn't be here today listening. You see, that Christian, that person who buried you in the water, he didn't keep you down there. He picked you back up. He lifted you back up out of the water. You were resurrected, if you will, from the dead. You see, that is the beauty of what God was trying to teach us. In baptism, we are not only burying the past, we're being reminded of the fact that when Jesus comes again, we will be resurrected from the earthly grave, just like we were brought back from the watery one. Amen. In that biblically mandated action, God took out the old life source. He removed the sin that had powered our lives up to that point. It was like removing an old battery that was going to decay and die. And then He replaced it with a new battery, a new life source. As God promised all the way back in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, what the rest of Romans chapter 6 is trying to say is, don't try putting that old battery back in. Don't try hooking up the battery of sinful past along with the new one that God just gave you when you became a Christian. You see, just like the iPods, we are not designed to run on two different life sources. You've either got to hook yourself up to the sinful past or to the godly future. You cannot do both. It just won't work. Look with me at Romans 6, 12 and 13, and it will be up there for you, or you can follow along in your Bibles. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. Don't go putting that old battery back in. It may have seemed like it gave you power in the past. It may have given a thrill to your existence. It may seem like it gave music to your life. And it might have kept you entertained for a while. But after all of the thrill and the music and the entertainment have died, all you'll be left with is this gnawing sense of disappointment and dissatisfaction. That is why you and I became Christians in the first place. You see, we wanted something better than what we had. Back when I was just getting ready to start junior high, I started going to this church on Guam, the first church of God in Barragata, Guam. And through the summer, I attended the church, and there was something different about those people. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's because they were happy all the time or if they really enjoyed each other's company, but there was something different about them. And I wanted it. And so that summer, I prayed to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. So don't try to go back and put in that old battery. Don't go back and live that old life. You went down in a watery grave and you rose up a new creation. And that wasn't anything you did yourself. It was a gift from God. Though you allowed yourself to be buried with Christ, you didn't create that new life. You didn't personally put that new battery in. God did it. Now, there are people who don't want God to do that. They realize that their old way of life isn't working. But they don't want to give what life they have to God. They'd rather do it themselves. They'd rather try to be the one that is in charge. But that new life that they create, it will always disappoint. Now, do you remember that guy, Casey Neistat, that tried putting that off-brand battery into his iPod? Do you remember what happened to it? That's right. He broke it. But now, some folks, they might just manage to get the job done. They might find some way to get a new heart in their body. They change their lifestyle and they become better people. But even that new heart, that new battery, that new lifestyle is still going to be inferior to the one that God can give us. You see, He is the manufacturer. He knows what will and won't work. And any changes that we make, while it may still be an improvement over what we had in the past, it will still be less than what God can do for us. But there are many people, including Christians, who believe a falsehood. You'll hear all kinds of people talking about how this person or that person will get into heaven because they were nice people. Have you ever heard anyone say something like that? I know when I was talking with my sister last night about my dad, and I'm breaking off track here. I get the information from my sister, who gets it from her half-sister, who is also my half-sister I've never met, who gets it from Maria, who is my dad's wife, and was kind of asking her about that. And the most I can get is that my dad enjoyed attending his church, whatever church it was. But you see, that is not enough. I mean, people are good people. They don't curse, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't fool around. They give to the poor. They even help old ladies across the street. And so even some Christians will think that good people will get into heaven, even if that good person is not a Christian. But the Bible tells me that can't happen. How can that which is mortal inherit immortality? If all you have beating in you is a really good mortal heart, it could never last long enough in the courts of heaven. Even the best heart is going to decay and die. In order for the mortal to inherit immortality, we need a better life source than that. When you go to a funeral, not just a memorial service, but a funeral, you'll see the casket up there and there's a pulpit for the preacher to preach from. What else do you see at funerals? Flowers. That's right. Got it on the first shot there. Amen. They're all beautiful. And they're all special gifts from people who wanted to show their love for the person who's departed. They're all beautiful, but there's a basic difference between them. Some are cut flowers that are made into a beautiful arrangement. And others are potted plants. Now, about a week or so after the funeral, the cut flowers will begin to wither and die. But for weeks, maybe even years after the funeral, the potted plants will still be alive. What's the difference? They need water. Potted plants have roots. Both flower arrangements are beautiful. They have beautiful fruit on the top. But only the potted plants have the roots. You see, the roots are the life source of the plant. It is the root, not the fruit, that determines if the plant will live. So also, it's the root, not the fruit, that determines if we will live forever with Christ. When God gave you a new heart, He gave you a power source that will allow you to live forever. One last thought as we start wrapping up here. There are those in this world who refuse to become Christians because they are afraid of what they will have to give up. And you know what? They're right. When you come to Christ, you surrender the past. You surrender your life to God because you realize that you cannot do it on your own. Now, whenever you send an iPod into Apple, you lose all the old music. The truth is, they actually send you another refurbished iPod. They take somebody else's iPod, fix it up, and send it to you. Then they'll take yours and fix that up and probably send it to somebody else. And even if they sent your old one back to you, the music would all be gone. Because when they replace the music, when they replace the battery, the music disappears. Then you have to put new songs in and start all over again. When you surrender your life to God, you surrender all your old songs. And God gives you a newer set of songs. My mind is racing to the youth. If we're riding in the youth bus, and they're listening to their music, I randomly will say, I want to have your iPod, and we'll plug it in. And someone will go, no, you can't listen to this. This isn't good music. Why are you listening to it then? And we do that. We'll just do random iPod checks, I guess is what it is. God gives you new songs, a newer set of songs that won't depress you, won't leave you feeling sad or ashamed. As David wrote in Psalm chapter 40, verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Now, Christian singing group, Phillips, Craig, and Dean, they say it this way in their song, Crucified with Christ. And no, I'm not singing it. Last week was enough. But I will tell you, some of you have probably heard it and know the song. When I look back at what I thought was living, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. And to think I ignored what really mattered, because I thought the sacrifice would be too great. But when I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. And even though it took dying to survive, I've never felt so much alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ that lives within me. His cross will never ask for more than I can give. For it's not my strength, but His. There's no greater sacrifice. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. And I will offer all I have so that His cross is not in vain. For I have found to live is Christ, and to die is truly gain.